In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Prayer is a very broad topic. We only want to speak in a simple way of praying, of the prayer of love, which consists of the loving repetition of some phrase that, after repeating it so much, reaches our soul to make it flesh of our flesh and blood of our blood. We want to paint a few simple strokes so that beginners can make a simple and effective prayer. However, we must clarify that this prayer of loving repetition, which we will propose, also serves those who are in the last degrees of contemplative prayer, for the simple reason that prayer is love, and the more love there is in loving repetition, the more it will unite us to God. Prayer is the food of the soul and the energy of the spirit. Without prayer, we cannot live spiritually, and we will gradually die in the soul. The Catechism of the Catholic Church 2744 says, "Praying is a vital necessity. Whoever prays is saved, and whoever does not pray is certainly condemned," as St. Alphonsus Liguori said. For this reason, the same Catechism of the Catholic Church 2697 says that it is necessary to remember God more often than to breathe. Prayer is the breath of the soul, the oxygen of all supernatural life, the expression of our love for God, the fuel of all our activity. Prayer is more necessary to the soul than food to the body, because the body can fast, but the soul cannot. Praying is like opening a bottle of perfume so that its fragrance extends throughout the day. The whole day should be perfumed by the morning prayer. Therefore, daily prayer is essential. Its effects are not only beneficial for the soul, but also for the body. The influence that prayer exerts on the spirit and body of man can be demonstrated as easily as the secretion of his glands. Its effects are measured by an increase in physical energy, of intellectual vigor, of moral force, and by a deeper understanding of the fundamental realities. He who gets used to praying sincerely soon feels how his life is deeply and clearly transformed. Prayer marks with its indelible stamp the actions and manners of man. Prayer is as real a force as universal gravitation can be. We have seen many men become superior to illness and the depression that accompanies it when all the resources of therapy had already failed, thanks to the serene effort of prayer. Prayer is an act proper to the mature man that is essential for the full development of the personality. Some go to pray and do not pray because they do not do their part and simply let themselves be carried away by their mental distractions or sleepiness. And it's like going to eat and not eating, or not taking advantage of the food. Prayer requires attention on our part. Maybe we can help ourselves with some things to focus our attention. You can write all the affections and feelings that we have towards our Lord Jesus Christ, as if we were talking to him. Perhaps it can help us to read a book so that it provokes some thought, which we use to talk with Jesus. But praying is different from spiritual reading. If only spiritual reflections are made on what has been read, everything can be left in a cold mental gymnastics. The important thing is that the reading serves as a basis to love the Lord. Therefore, we must stop reading when we have something to talk about or say as a result of what we read. Because a prayer without loving communication with God is not a good prayer. Prayer is love, and the more love, the better the prayer. For this, you have to dedicate some time exclusively to pray. It is not enough to say, as we once heard from a certain priest, "I am in prayer all day because all day I am talking about God." Yes, he talked a lot about God, but he didn't talk to God. And there are many who can do many good activities and fall into the heresy of action, do many good things but not pray. And you have to take time to be alone with God. On August 6, 1981, a priest told the Jesuits of Bangkok in Thailand, "Pray a lot. Problems are not solved only with human effort. We have many meetings and gatherings, but we don't pray enough. We must pray more. Jesus tells us in the sacred scriptures, 'Ask and you will receive.' Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. We do not receive many things because we do not ask for them. Or as that mother said, whose son was miraculously saved after having been 20 minutes underwater in a pool. Many children die because their parents do not pray. God stops doing many miracles in the world because many do not have enough faith to ask for a miracle. But prayer is not just for times of need or when we are going through a crisis. Prayer is the daily food of the soul. Therefore, it is essential in the spiritual life. Without prayer, our soul will be empty and without light. Prayer is a life or death thing. Without prayer, we will be dead inside. But let's not forget that prayer is not simply a business-like communication with God to inform him of what we do or what we need. Prayer is a loving communication with our Father God. Without love, there will be no true prayer. Saint Teresa of Calcutta used to say, "There is no difference between prayer and love. We cannot say that we pray, but that we do not love, or that we love, without the need to pray, because there is no prayer without love, and there is no love without prayer." Saint Teresa of Jesus, also known as Saint Teresa of Avila, affirmed, "Praying is about a friendship, often being alone with who we know loves us. It is not to think a lot, but to love a lot. And thus, what will most awaken you to love, do that. The use of the soul is not in thinking a lot, but in loving a lot." As we can see, to pray is to love, and the more love there is in our prayer, the better it will be. Without love, prayer can be reduced to an empty repetition of words from memory, or the performance of a series of empty rites. There are those who go to church to fulfill a commitment, and are not able to say all the time they remain in the temple, "Jesus, I love you." They are present like spectators at a ceremony, without participating or speaking with the Lord. They are like mute or blind people who neither hear the voice of God nor see him present among them because they lack faith. And faith is love and trust in God, and it is a gift that we can receive as long as we want and ask for it. Without love, nothing is worth anything. Saint Paul the Apostle says, "Though I command languages, both human and angelic, if I speak without love, I am no more than a gong booming or a cymbal clashing. And though I have the power of prophecy to penetrate all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all the faith necessary to move mountains, if I am without love, I am nothing. Though I should give away to the poor all that I possess, and even give up my body to be burned, if I am without love, it will do me no good whatever." 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. True prayer must be filled with love for God. It must be a loving communication with God. To do this, you don't necessarily need to talk. You can love with words or without words. Hence, one of the most sublime ways of praying is contemplative prayer, in which the soul remains like in ecstasy, contemplating God and feeling his love. It is like a wave of love that envelops the soul and leaves it speechless, responding with a silent love. It is a loving silence or a silent love. It is like merging two in one for love, where there are no words, or at the most, it can only be repeated constantly, "I love you, I love you, I love you." It is the prayer of that peasant of whom the holy priest of Ars speaks. He went to pray every day at church, and one day the saint asked him, "What are you up to? How do you pray?" "I look at him and he looks at me." It was a prayer with a simple look of love. Or like that nun who, when she felt tired or sick and could not pray, she simply took the engagement ring of her vows between her fingers. It was like constantly telling Jesus with that gesture that she was his wife and that she loved him, despite feeling nothing or being capable of anything. On one occasion, we saw a very poor woman lighting a candle in front of an image of Jesus, and she stared at the candle until it went out, almost an hour looking at a candle, which for her was like a prayer addressed with love to Jesus, who was in the image. She did not know how to pray with beautiful prayers, but she did know how to love, and therefore her prayer was pleasing to God. On another occasion, A mother was crying with her sick son in front of an image of the Virgin Mary and placed him on her altar. She didn't pray, she just cried. We don't know if she would say anything to her, but the gesture of giving her son to her was more than enough to tell the Virgin with all her mother's love to heal her son. And God miraculously healed him through Mary. We will never forget either that poor peasant who asked us to put the Virgin's mantle on him. And we put on his head one of the cloaks that were no longer used. What happiness for that man! We are sure that he did not say many words. He was silent, enjoying feeling protected by the mantle of the Virgin Mary, our mother, asking her for his needs without words. How many ways to pray with small gestures of love! Like that man, we took him to church to pray and gave him a flower that was in front of the tabernacle. For him, it was a gift from Jesus himself. He took the flower to his house and placed it before an image of Jesus so that the flower would tell Jesus how much he loved him. Often, simple people who say that they do not know how to pray because they do not know beautiful prayers can set an example for us by praying with small gestures full of love, such as a flower, a candle, a letter, an alms. For them, carrying an image in your wallet or wearing a medal or the scapular around your neck can be a permanent prayer because you carry these objects with love. On the other hand, many great theologians or highly educated people who are well known despise these simple manifestations as if they were superstitions. Of course, these simple people must be taught not to remain only in external images and gestures. They must be told a lot about the Eucharist, so that they do not forget that Jesus is alive and risen, is in the Eucharist, waiting for them. It is so easy to talk to him. It is so easy to pray. It is so easy to love him. It's so easy to treat him like a close friend. A nun wrote to us and said, "I feel at every moment that he looks at me. Can't you feel his gaze?" Feeling his gaze and smiling at him, telling him that we love him, thanking him for everything, simply telling him our things can be a very easy way to pray and show him our love. The important thing is to love him a lot. Saint Jose Maria Escrivá used to say, "Don't you know how to pray? Put yourself in the presence of God, and as soon as you begin to say, 'Lord, I do not know how to pray,' be sure that you have begun to pray. The important thing is not so much what you say or what you do, but the love with which you say it or do it." There is a legend that tells of the life of a circus performer who took jumps and leaps through the villages to make people happy. One day, tired of that life, he wanted to enter a convent to serve God and was accepted by his good heart. But when the monks went to church to pray through their great books, he felt sad because he could not read and believed that he could never pray like the other monks. One night, when everyone was asleep, he went to the chapel and said to our Lord Jesus Christ, "Lord, you know that I cannot read or pray, but I love you, and I want to show you with my jumps and pirouettes, like when I made the people laugh. Hopefully I can comfort you and make you laugh." So he began his jumping session and more jumping to cheer up Jesus. But the superior heard noises and went to the chapel. And when he was going to seriously reprimand him, he saw that Jesus was smiling from the image to him, and he understood that he was happy in that simple way of expressing his love to Jesus, that it was a beautiful way to pray. Praying is not saying nice words. Once upon a time, there was a poor peasant who took his prayer book to the fields every day to pray during his moments of rest. One day, he felt sad because he had forgotten his little book, and that day, he would not be able to pray. Then he humbly told Jesus, "Lord, you know the prayers. I am going to recite the letters of the alphabet, and you put the letters together and compose the beautiful prayers that I would like to say to you." And so he began to recite the letters of the alphabet several times, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And God was happy with that prayer because for him, the most important thing is love. Father Matteo Crawley, the world apostle of devotion to the heart of Jesus, relates that on one occasion, he met an indigenous Chilean who was a coal man and barely knew anything about religion. He was very ignorant and did not know the Lord's Prayer or the Hail Mary, but he confidently prayed to God every day. Father Mateo asked him, "How do you pray?" And the indigenous man replied, "In the morning I tell him, Lord Jesus, your sack of coal is ready to work, help me. And in the afternoon I say to him, Lord, your sack of coal is going to rest, help me." Father Mateo says that before the faith of that humble charcoal burner, he was about to kneel to thank God for his faith and love. The best place to express our love for Jesus is in the Eucharist, where he is truly present. How beautiful it is to go to a lonely church or a chapel where the Blessed Sacrament is exposed, to be able to speak personally with Jesus of Nazareth himself, the same Jesus who 2,000 years ago healed the sick and blessed children. What joy for him when we tell him, with words or without words, that we love him. The Eucharistic Jesus is the greatest source of blessings in the entire world. There we must go every day to warm our hearts by the divine Son of Jesus' love. And there we will take strength to continue the arduous path of daily life. Two specific cases. On January 13, 2001, there was an earthquake in El Salvador, and on the road, protected by an improvised awning, there was an 86-year-old woman. Part of the house in which she lived with her daughter and her grandchildren had been taken away by the earthquake. But she had not lost her smile or uttered words against God, nor did she want to die. The only thing she asked insistently was communion. She told us with a trembling voice, "Without communion, without receiving Jesus, we are like pigs. We do nothing but eat and sleep." The other case is told by the French novelist René Bazin. During the Second World War, he went to Mass every day and saw a young lady there who had great serenity despite having lost her husband and having her children prisoners in a concentration camp. One day, he asked her what was the reason for her tranquility, and she replied, "Every day I receive Jesus in communion, and he gives me strength for the next 24 hours. The strength that I receive in communion makes me overcome all difficulties." The tabernacle of our churches, or the monstrance where the sacramental Jesus is exposed, is the best place in the world to establish a relationship of love and friendship with God. There, the omnipotent God awaits us, and there we can tell him, better than anywhere else, that we love him. Therefore, it is the best place in the world to pray. Many thanks for watching the video. Please also take a moment to enjoy these 99 Catholics videos, which share related content about our faith. And also help to support our channel by becoming a member. Details are in the description box below. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.